We're going to read a familiar passage. Nicodemus coming to Jesus in the darkness of night. And he's a little bit in the dark himself. But Christ is going to begin to shine bright. But his question is real and his question is valid because, like us, we know what it's like to need a new beginning. We know what it's like to need to be reborn, as they discuss. So I'm going to read to you from John 3 through verse 17. Sometimes I wish at football games when they always hold up those John 3:16 cards, they'd also do one for verse 17, but that's just me. But let us be attentive to the reading and the hearing of God's word. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. No one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have life eternal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I tried to say a minute ago, no matter who we are or where we've been, we all need at some point in our lives, maybe several times in our journey, a new beginning. And that is exactly what God's love brings us in the gift of Jesus, his only Son. A new beginning is what Christmas celebrates. God's love as a gift wrapped in swaddling clothes has come. Just like the birth of a brand new baby, we're given the gift that's wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger that ends up growing into a person who seeks to greet us. And he does so because we need new beginnings, a new start, a chance to begin afresh. Oftentimes, a troubled relationship needs a new beginning. A troubling career needs to be reborn somehow. A person with an alarming diagnosis from a doctor needs to be made new so that they can begin again. When a beloved friend or family member dies, we know we need a new strength and a new faith to guide us in the days ahead because they're vastly different because the loved one is absent. If you've ever made a horrible mistake and feeling the shame of your error, you know what it's like to need to start over. Believe it or not, oftentimes churches and congregations need new life. A whole nation may need to start over and be transformed because it's become stuck in its own problems that it just can't seem to fix. What I want you to know this morning about this very familiar passage of the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus is that it's a conversation for us. Because just like Nicodemus, we need a rebirth, a new beginning, a fresh start, and that is exactly what Jesus Christ offers. And Jesus, as this conversation begins to unfold, he's rightly surprised that Nicodemus, an expert in the Old Testament, doesn't understand how God can bring a new beginning. Especially when the Old Testament is full of God throughout all of human history bringing new beginnings. In the book of Romans, we're told that Abraham hoped against all hopes that God's promises of an entirely new life and offspring would be true. And it was. All Abraham had to do was step out in faith, and he did. Many years later, Joseph's life, and if you know anything about it, it takes a turn for the worse and it ends up in a dungeon after experiencing one tragedy after another. God lifted Joseph out of the dungeon and made him the number two man in Egypt. He was not only able to provide for Egypt in his leadership role, but to save his family from famine as well. Exodus. The Hebrews are so numerous, just as God had promised, that the Egyptians decide to make them slaves so that they can't overpower them with their great numbers. And so God sends Moses to lead the people out of their bondage. They are set free. They're set free to live however they want, and they can choose God in that freedom that they now have. Many of the freed people find themselves in the wilderness, and God provides in the midst of scarcity. And he guides in an unknown wilderness until they do indeed reach the land as promised. If any of the people were bit in the wilderness by a poisonous snake, they were taught to look up, and when they looked up, they were healed, just as God had promised. Later on, there are these nations, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, who both attacked and made slaves of the people, but God promised to free them. And God did. The people returned and they rebuilt just as God has promised. David, as you know, was persecuted by Saul. Joshua had to fight the Battle of Jericho. Ruth and Naomi had to move. And God gave new beginnings to all these people and more. If you you read the book of Joshua, the whole reason he tells the people near the end of that book, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. He tells the people gathered before him that very thing because it's God that gave them their freedom, their new land, and a whole new way of life. So choose how you're going to use that freedom, Joshua tells the people. You know, maybe Nicodemus had seen so much that was broken in our world that he no longer believed in new beginnings. I don't know, maybe he thought he'd seen enough to believe that this is really all there is. Talk to somebody that's been stuck for a very long time in a dead-end job. They'll agree with Nicodemus if that's the case. This seems to be all there is. But God so loved the world. Those great words, God so loved the world. Not just some of its parts, but all of it. He came to fix not just some of it, but every piece. Every person. The redeeming, the repairing, the new beginning would come to those who believe. I think Christmas is God coming to us saying, I have been with you so many times before, but I am here in the flesh to show you for real that anyone that is in Christ is indeed a new creation. For on the cross of Christ, we see brokenness transformed into wholeness. His weakness is transformed into God's strength. His death is transformed into life eternal. And a dead-end situation becomes a whole new beginning for those who come to Jesus. It's there on the cross that the crucified Jesus meets the hugeness of our undeserving love with a love that is even more huge. And that's when we begin to understand God does indeed so love this world. We learn at the cross of Jesus that to those that love and live in darkness, God has come to shine His light. Like Nicodemus, we see a lot of relationships go unchanged. We look out and see a world that in many places is still very broken. And maybe we too sadly think, well, this is all there really is. That's why I'm glad we celebrate Christmas every year. When we see God's Son come to us, lay down His life for us, only to pick it up again and offer that kind of love-filled life to us, that's when we get the miracle that we need most. And that's when we're truly born again. We get to come and celebrate communion this morning. The communion table, every time that we come to it, is trying to announce over and over that God still comes to His people. It may not be in the flesh where we find Jesus in the manger. Don't worry, He'll be there on Christmas. We can count on it. But what we can count on too is when we come to the table, Jesus Christ in the presence of His Holy Spirit has promised to meet us here. He says, this is my body broken and my blood shed for you. Take and eat. And what does He do? He gives us Himself again as a gift. As a gift of eternal life, as a gift of victorious life that comes from God. So whenever we come to this table, it's a Christmas moment. And whenever we come to this table, it is such an opportunity because God's saying, I haven't left you. I'm still with you here now to meet you in whatever kind of condition or shape you're in. And if you'll let me, I'll feed your faith. So that your soul is nourished and you can go out believing and loving the world much in the way that I do. So what I'd like us to do is to prepare to come and celebrate this most holy feast. And I'd like the elders that are going to assist to come forward. And if you would, just, Ron, if you'll take a seat in the chair, and the others can sit there in the pews. When the bread is passed around, we do ask you hold the bread until everybody is served. And what we do is we eat the bread together. And the reason we do that, it's in a small way symbolizing a big truth that we all belong to the body of Christ together. The doilies have gluten-free wafers if you prefer gluten-free. When the cup comes, you can just drink it immediately when it is served to you. But I want you to know this is not the Presbyterian's table. This is the meal that the Lord has prepared, and that's why we call it the Lord's Supper, and it is the Lord's table. He stands here giving us an image of what will be. There will be a day when He's finished redeeming everything, and we'll be partying forever with Christ as our host. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've been baptized in His name, you're welcome to this most holy feast. Do so remembering that God said, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I'll fulfill the promise. I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore." We have much to look forward to. Christ has come, and He meets us now here in the presence of His Holy Spirit. And because He has come, we can look forward to His coming again, where we will indeed sit at a table, all things made new, celebrating together forever. If you will, please join me in our communion liturgy. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Dying, you restore our death. Rising, you restore our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
And let us pray. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. You sent Him into this world to satisfy the longings of your people for a Savior, to bring freedom to the captives of sin, and to establish justice for the oppressed. He came among us as one of us, taking the lot of the poor, sharing human suffering. And we rejoice that in His death and rising again, yet you set before us the sure promise of new life, the certain hope of a heavenly home where we will sit at table with Christ our host. So as we come, we ask that you would not only welcome us in the grandeur of your love, but that you would take us as we are. And that after feeding our faith, you would continue to journey with us so that you would make us what you would have us be. And we ask that in your great mercy, you'd look upon the world and be with those that need healing, whether it be of spirit or whether it be of body. We ask that those that are fighting diseases be given the strength and the hope to look to you and trust you in everything. And as Ron prayed earlier in our service, use the gifts that we offer and use us to take the blessings that we've experienced from your generous hand and share them with others so they would know that you are indeed good. But most of all, let that Christmas joy shine bright in our hearts as we look to your coming. Finally, we ask that in the presence of your Holy Spirit, you would make the bread that we break and the cup that we bless be for us the body and blood of Christ himself, that after taking him into ourself, we will be nourished, and that sharing this table with all those around the world who do the same, we would be one in ministry. Unite us with all, and especially with you, and empower us to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ and to share the good news of great joy with the world around us as we come to you now praying the way in which Jesus taught us by praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We celebrate this meal to remember what it's all about, of what Christ was willing to do to forgive, grant us eternal life by demonstrating God's love. That's why we recall the night of the Passover. He celebrated that with the disciples, and when they were done with the Passover meal, he took the bread that was on the table. And when he did, he gave thanks. And after giving thanks, he then broke it and blessed it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat of it." And then in like manner, he took the cup that was there. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. It's sealed in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. And whenever you drink from this cup and you eat this bread, do so remembering me. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, and you are welcome to this holy feast."
Thank you.
This is the body of Christ broken for you. Take and eat. Our Lord, just as you transform death to life, we ask that we would just always be open, not only to your presence, but to the power that you bring our lives to live by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to go out singing. If you'll take your hymnal, our final hymn is 186, Thy Mercy and Thy Truth, O Lord, hymn 186.
Thank you.
our children, parents, and grandparents, if you want to join us in the fellowship hall, we have a fun activity for the kiddos. But as you go, may the love of God, the peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be in you and with you now and forever. Amen.